WCCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The man suspected of shooting and killing a Minnesota lawmaker and her husband and wounding a state senator and his wife is due in court today. CBS's Lilia Luciano's in Minneapolis.
He's facing four charges of second-degree murder without a premeditation, which I think is interesting, and we're hoping to get some answers at that hearing.
At least eight people are reported dead in overnight Iranian missile attacks on Israel. Now, Israel is warning people in parts of Tehran to evacuate. CBS's Deborah Patta reports from Tel Aviv.
We understand that in Iran, people are fleeing the city. They're not used to their city being under attack.
The Supreme Court has just agreed to consider an appeal from a faith-based pregnancy center in New Jersey, which is challenging an investigation into whether it misled people into thinking its services included referrals for abortions. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCL News, I'm Brittany Merlau. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says almost 250,000 Wisconsinites will lose health care under the Republicans' House-passed budget bill. Joanne Krulatz has the details.
Senator Baldwin said, quote, Republicans' plan is simple, cut benefits for working Americans so that the wealthiest Americans and big corporations can get richer. My phones have been ringing off the hook from Wisconsinites who are terrified their health care coverage is on the chopping block, and now we see just how many of our neighbors are in jeopardy, end quote. The Republicans' plan includes changes to the Medicaid program designed to kick eligible Americans off their health care, with a new report showing an estimated 148,000 Wisconsinites would lose their Medicaid benefits. The Republican plan would also allow the Enhanced Affordable Care Act premium tax credits, which save Americans on average $700 each year on their coverage, to expire, jacking up the cost of coverage and putting insurance out of reach for over 110,000 Wisconsin families. In Wisconsin, over 1.2 million are enrolled in Medicaid. About one in three children in both Wisconsin's rural and metro communities have Medicaid coverage. Over 12 million rural Americans rely on Medicaid for health care.
And Republican state lawmakers are proposing legislation seeking to increase price transparency for hospital costs. The proposed bill would create a new enforcement mechanism to ensure hospitals are complying. The legislation comes following a press release from the Wisconsin Hospital Association, highlighting a turquoise health analysis that found Wisconsin ranked first in the country for hospital price transparency. The analysis also found that no Wisconsin hospital had been fined for noncompliance with transparency laws. I'm Brittany Merlau for WXCO.
Another win for Priester. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball? The Brewers have the day off before heading to Chicago tomorrow night for a series against the Cubs. The crew with a 3-2 win over the Cardinals yesterday, thanks to 24-year-old Quinn Priester, the right-hander out of Cary, Illinois, who's now won four in a row. I asked him what went through his mind as he held St. Louis to just one run through six innings.
No excuses type of mentality. Even today, you know, don't get a strike, you know, don't get a call go your way. Like, who cares? Like, you can't change it. You know, complain about it's not going to help anybody. So just go out there, do the job. You know, it's asked to me, and try and exceed those expectations and help us win games.
Manager Pat Murphy.
Quinn was great. He's just, we've given him that opportunity, and he's riding it.
NBA Finals Game 5 tonight. The Thunder host the Pacers. The series tied at two games apiece. A blockbuster trade. The Grizzlies sending guard Desmond Bain to the Orlando Magic for two other players and five first-round draft picks. With sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms, especially later this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Could be some locally heavy rain. Our low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, chance of thunderstorms with a high upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks.
Yeah. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by Matt Rothschild. We go deep on book banning in Florida. Did you read Judy Blume? Did you like it? Well, Florida kids won't be able to read it anymore. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Good morning and welcome, to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Khaled Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He normally joins us on Fridays to discuss all things Wisconsin and political. We have a double shot of Dan Schaefer this week, who is at the convention in Wisconsin over the weekend. Good morning, Dan. You must be tired. It was a long weekend for you.
It was a long weekend, but happy to join you here on Matt and Air on Air, as always. And yes, it was quite the weekend at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells for the WISDEMS 2025 convention, talking about the road to 2026 and electing a new chair. The farewell convention for Ben Wickler in so many ways. And I think Ben maybe took the stage, about 20 different times over the course of the 2-day convention to talk. But it was definitely a celebration of Ben Wickler's 6 years as chair of the party, and then looking ahead to the future after they elected Devin Remiker as the next chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. So lots going on, as always.
What do we know about Devin Remiker, other than the fact that, because Ben Wickler had endorsed him leading up to this?
That's right. Yeah, Wickler endorsed Remiker in this race. Remiker was the executive director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin for quite some time. He was one of the leaders of the Harris Walls campaign in Wisconsin last year. He is a native of Two Rivers, Wisconsin, went to UW-La Crosse, and has, really been part of the party for quite a while in Wisconsin. So I think of the people running, he seemed kind of like the more internal WISDEMS, kind of insider choice. Joe Zepecki running a little bit from outside of the party, and then William Garcia running he came in third place in the final votes there for that. But I think Remiker is going to be, he really built this as kind of a continuation of what was going right for Democrats in Wisconsin. I think even at one point in one of the speeches he gave, it's just like, well, national Democrats were rolling over, Wisconsin Democrats were putting up a fight. And mm-hmm. I think he kept saying that in Wisconsin, the Democratic Party works. And so for whatever dysfunction you might see on a national scale for the Democratic Party, I think that part of his message was to say that, what we're doing in Wisconsin is working. And I think by and large, the results of the spring election have absolutely reinvigorated the party. I think there was so many people after the loss in November. I wonder what this type of convention would be like had it not been for Susan Crawford's 10-point victory in April,
Yeah, I think there'd be a lot more hair on fire, maybe.
Like, wringing of hands.
What are we going to do? Yeah. And really, like, you think about it, too, like the past, the first Donald Trump v. Clinton, but the 2016, 2020, 2024 were tumultuous for Wisconsin back and forth in a time when the presidential election since Reagan went to Democrats. But Wisconsin, when it becomes our election, our statewide election, we lock it down. We get it in and we talk about the important things and we see a different attitude. And Dan, I believe you talked about this too, is that in the April election of this year, things really shifted left in all counties and all parts of the state. Areas that went for Trump, I mean, they didn't become all of a sudden blue havens, right, but they definitely showed a tick towards the left. And I think if the Wisconsin Democrats can capitalize on the work that Ben Wickler has done, I think there can be some really good things happening, especially in those wow counties, the bow counties, and those areas that people are like, well, those are Republican strongholds. And also with fair maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, and Wickler, I think the number that they were saying at the convention that under, you know, his leadership, Democrats or democratically aligned candidates had won 10 of the last 13 statewide races since he took the helm in 2019. So a pretty impressive record overall. Obviously, flipping the state Supreme Court was a big part of that, you know, coming up short in November. But, you know, the closest of all of the swing states in the country, too. So I think, you know, Remaker will have an opportunity to, you know, kind of carry the torch from Wickler. And it was an interesting vote. It was contentious. It was close. Both camps had a lot of signs, you know, floating around the convention for the weekend. But then it did go to a second round in the ranked choice voting on Sunday. So this was held with ranked choice voting for the first time because they had three candidates running for it. In the first round of voting, Remaker received 437 votes. Sopecki got 330 and Garcia had 139. So then Garcia drops off for the second round. Mm-hmm. And then those kind of second place votes within those ranks, Remaker ended up with 485 to Sopecki's 415.
Wow, so, close,
you know,
though.
Pretty close. Really close. Ultimately, at the end of the day, yeah. So a really interesting vote. Interesting that they had it with ranked choice voting. And then, you know, on down the line, it was also two new party officers were elected. They ran unopposed. So Sarah Godlewski is now the first vice chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And Joshua Taylor, who's been the chair of the party's fourth congressional district, was elected as second vice chair as well. So some change within a couple of the officers of the party as well. And with Godlewski, I do wonder if, you know, the fact that she's been a more public face for in a lot of different places. She's, you know, taken this both state treasurer and secretary of state's office and done a little bit more with it than we might expect.
Right.
You know, I wonder if she might take a similar approach to the first vice chair role as well.
Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. He was at the WisDems convention over the weekend, and we're doing a little recap of what happened, including the election of Devin Remaker as the head of WisDems. I think it's interesting that they did ranked choice voting. I know that that's something that there's a push to see more of this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just overall, like, democracy reforms are really interesting. And I thought it was great that WisDems, you know, as advancing this, you know, as a platform or as an option to go about it. You know, we're seeing in the national news, like the mayor of New York election, mm-hmm. Mayor of New York City election that's happening right now will also be a ranked choice vote. So that's going to be interesting to watch there as well. But I think, you know, sometimes we've seen people talk about, hey, let's do ranked choice voting. Like in the legislature, they talked about, you know, a couple people talked about wanting to do ranked choice voting. Oh, but not for us, but for, you know, members of Congress or something like that. So I thought it was good of the Democrats to say, we approve of this and we're actually going to adopt it to elect our chair and our party officers.
Yeah, so, it's kind of tough to say this is a really good thing that we should do, but we don't want to do this thing. That's kind of tough.
I have a question, Dan, and I'm asking you to give me your opinion on like the behind the scenes stuff. And
yeah,
I found something very interesting. So when Ben Wickler decides to step down, we saw people throwing their hats in the ring, and one of the first people is Joe Speck. I mean, I think the day, like, either the day after or the weekend after, and he came out strong with lots of endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Wickler had said, I'm not going to endorse anybody. And then in the last couple of weeks, he endorsed Devin. I almost said Lemahieu. But remind me his last name.
That'd be a surprise.
Right? But but why do you, A, why do you think he endorsed him? And B, and this is our, I don't want to get conspiracy theory or like politics. Was it because Joe Sopecki was, as you said, an outsider showing a lead or real good chance of getting it? And they'd be like, no, we want to keep it like within, I don't know. Don't elect the outsider guy. Don't let's keep it with us. I mean, that, I know that's a lot for you to comment on. And
it's
if
a
you,
fair question though,
if you don't want to, I understand, but it just seemed very weird that he did exactly what he said he wasn't going to do, which is very odd because, you know, it would be easier not to endorse anybody, but he took heat for doing this. And it seemed like it happened in the moment where it's the outside guy, Joe Sopecki, who, you know, I think would have done a great job. I loved his attitude towards statewide inclusion and community, but was it too much? And they're like, no, we got to keep one of our guys in this chair. Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, I interviewed Ben Wickler about a month ago, and it happened to be the day after that he endorsed Remaker. And mm-hmm. so I asked him about it. He had initially said he was going to remain neutral, and Wickler said, he just said he changed his mind and that he's just like, it's an election. Everybody gets their say. I do wonder if, you know, that was a significant factor in swinging some votes over. I know some people were just like, didn't really exactly love, you know, his decision to endorse in the race. But I think, you know, look, I don't think it was a coincidence that Remaker announced his campaign for this within hours of Wickler stepping down.
Yeah.
Like it just seemed like he was, you know, kind of the internal pick to continue on and, you know, grab the torch from Wickler and continue with like the same type of approach that they have been. I joked with Ben in that interview that, using one of my favorite jokes from the HBO series Veep, the campaign line, continuity with change.
God, that show is good. So good. And that to me, it kind of like what we spoke about last week. And if you want to listen to our interview with Dan from last week, go to civicmedia.us/shows. You can listen to the Friday episode. We're talking about your article regarding Tony Evers. And we're talking about the idea of primaries versus picking the next person or just allowing that person, you know, the guy in charge to just walk past everybody else and say, he's the one. Mm-hmm. This notion of we want primaries, we want choices, I think gets muted when the guy who is beloved, who says he's not going to endorse, then comes out and says he endorses the guy who literally announced hours after Ben announced his retirement. Mm-hmm. It just, for me, there's a little pain there. Go like, oh, you could that will always bother me. That will always bother me.
I do wonder if there's a comparison to be made in this race between the race for Wisdom's chair and the race for DNC chair. So, you know, just as Sopecki was kind of mounting these, you know, endorsements when he announced and stuff like that, Ben Wickler was in the same role, mm-hmm. kind of as more of the party outsider compared to Ken Martin, who had been, you know, an officer within the DNC for a while.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, some of us were surprised to see Ken Martin win that, but he had been kind of lining up a run for this type of role for a really long time. And I wonder if there's, you know, Devin Remaker is the Ken Martin in this analogy and Joe Sopecki is the Ben Wickler in this analogy,
well,
where maybe a little bit more of a public persona for Sopecki, but maybe didn't have the support from within the party, within mm-hmm. the delegates and all of that.
Yeah.
Well, Ben Wickler, but he may not want to get too comfortable because whether or not Ken Martin's going to remain in that spot after he was caught on tape saying, yeah, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. What, have you been there for 2 months?
It's not great, Jane.
No,
it's not great.
It's not good.
This job is hard.
Oh, I didn't think it was going to be this hard.
Oh, I got to talk to all the Democrats? Oh, God.
Yeah. So, Ben, I don't know. You might get tapped for this yet.
Yeah. That's an interesting analogy, Dan. This is very, very interesting. Because, I just couldn't, when I saw that he was elected, when Devin Remaker was elected, I'm like, that just, it stuck in my craw, to quote my grandpappy.
Well, and I think unfortunately, that can lead to both parties are the same. Both parties do this.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
yep.
One is not better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer on the other side, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi award-winning recombobulation area. Stay close. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the Big High School Sports Show.
The Peace Lily is so last year.
Hey, has anyone worked with Fiddlenecks?
Shelby's popular flower shop is in full bloom.
We just got a request for an arrangement that evokes air.
Who's up for that challenge? No?
She needs to hire a floral designer to nip foliage faux pas in the bud.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our advanced matching helps find talented candidates so you can connect with them fast. Redeem your $75 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and Senior County Official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP County Commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claimed that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. A double dose of recombobulating this week. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan was at the WISDEMS convention over the weekend here in Wisconsin.
And not only stuff happening with a brand new chair, but Dan, you sat down with Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, who was, if I'm not mistaken, the keynote speaker of that event, correct?
That's right. He was the keynote speaker. Saturday night at the convention is kind of when all of the different big names in Wisconsin politics will deliver their speeches. And Warnock's was the one to cap off the night. He delivered a terrific speech. But moments before he delivered that speech, I got a chance to sit down with him for a few minutes and interview the senator, which was a real treat. And, you know, he had some really interesting things to say. There are some commonalities between Wisconsin and Georgia, both being, you know, swing states, both having, you know, being purple states, and the challenges that can come with that. And, you know, he talked about the big, ugly bill working its way through Congress. He talked about working with Senator Tammy Baldwin. Both Georgia and Wisconsin are both non-expansion states for Medicaid, and that's something right. That both of them have worked on at a federal level to try and make some change there as well, and talked about kind of where Wisconsin's position is nationally and what type of significance the spring election had in Wisconsin too. So had 10 minutes with the senator, and we touched on a lot. So go check out that interview at the Recombobulation Area.
And we have a small clip of that conversation that you gave to us. Calvin, can you play that clip of Dan talking to Senator Raphael Warnock?
Well, we are in a fierce debate in the Congress right now The big ugly bill represents the largest transfer of wealth from the bottom half of the country to the top that we've ever seen. And I'm very concerned about my constituents in Georgia. I'm concerned about rural towns in particular that count on SNAP. Not only the people who need it, but these small grocery stores, the local economies that count on this, on this response to food insecurity.
I mean, it says it right there, Dan. I mean, I see videos projecting the taxes for poor people will go up versus tax cuts for billionaires will also go up. I mean, we're talking about a bill here that is going to penalize people for being poor and food insecure and just not being a guy who can call up and talk to the president when they want to. I mean, this is ridiculous. And I didn't know how much Georgia had in common with Wisconsin.
Yeah. And, you know, the way he talked about this being, you know, quote, the largest transfer of wealth from the bottom half of the country to the top that we've ever seen. I mean, that's a really significant statement to me from somebody like Warnock, who has, you know, he in his keynote speech at the convention talked about some of his personal background, talked about, you know, working his way up from being a poor child to being a U.S. senator and relying on, you know, programs like Head Start, programs like food assistance, programs like that really matter. And he talked about how he campaigned in Georgia, in a lot of rural areas and small towns. And he said there were a lot of people who were surprised to see him come back after the election as well, to continue having that conversation with people. And I think, you know, he talked about it in the context of, you know, what some of his Republican counterparts are going to be doing. And, you know, there are a lot of people serving in red districts across the country who are representing those who are going to be losing Medicaid coverage, will be losing their food assistance, will be losing a few other things. And so one of his quotes was saying, quote, "And my Republican colleagues have got to decide, are they going to fight for their own constituents, the constituents in Marjorie Taylor Greene's district? Is she going to fight for them, or is she going to carry the MAGA banner? That's the question before her, and Wisconsin faces a similar question."
Well, and a question I have too is if these individuals who supported and voted for Donald Trump, not the politicians, but the real people, when they see their benefits go away, when they see their taxes go up, will they hold those Republican lawmakers
accountable?
Will they hold their feet to the fire at election time? Will qualified candidates primary them?
But I heard a statistic coming in this morning that said only one of five Americans are aware of what is in this budget bill. Mm-hmm. So that means that four out of five have no idea. It's like Project 2025.
Yeah.
It's out there, but unless it's really in your face, I don't know that a lot of people really understand what this is going to do.
Yeah. It's a disaster of a bill.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Warnock's comments on this and just talking about the way he has worked with Tammy Baldwin over the years to address some of the similar challenges. And you know, I think both being swing states, both being states that have large urban centers and many rural small towns. And I think, you know, that their focus on, you know, being senators for the whole state is something I heard a lot from Tammy Baldwin last year. I had a chance to interview her as well, and it was interesting to, you know, see the similar approach being taken by Raphael Warnock, who reminded me as well that he won five elections in 3 years, which, you know, that's pretty impressive.
You should get a medal or a day off or a chocolate
something
prize
for
basket.
That.
I mean, that is amazing.
Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. It is absolutely fabulous. So is he. Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you again on Friday.
Thanks so much. Be well.
Stay close. News coming up next. Audio sorbet when we return. Ooh, it's a tough question today. Bagels toasted or no? That's on the other side. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
Falls Radio, WXCO. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlau. Officials in Wausau hope DNA science can identify the city's unknown soldier. Joanne Krulatz has the story.
The unknown soldier died by suicide in 1930, leaving behind no identifying information, just a note saying he was a World War I veteran. Efforts to identify him went nowhere, and officials buried him with full military honors and a headstone marked unknown soldier. But last week, multiple agencies worked to dig up his remains with great care and respect. They now await DNA analysis to see if a living match can be found, which could lead to identification and closure for his story. Officials say the effort could take months, with the University of Wisconsin Missing in Action Recovery and Identification Project assisting the effort.
Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin will join a multi-state lawsuit seeking to block the DNA testing company 23andMe from selling personal genetic data. The lawsuit argues that the highly sensitive genetic information, including biological samples, should not be sold without the consent of the consumers who provide the samples. The lawsuit was filed in federal bankruptcy court as another company seeks to buy the struggling 23andMe company. Experts are encouraging consumers to delete their 23andMe accounts before a potential sale. And the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation officials say they're preparing to cut back on some of the programs that they offer over the next couple of years following a drop in revenue. The agency brings in more of its funding from economic development surcharges, and officials say the revenue brought in from those surcharges have not kept pace with inflation. The agency saw a $4 million drop in revenue, and funding is expected to decline even more. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Alan Ritchson has played Reacher for 3 seasons now, and season 4 is currently in production. It's a good gig because there are 29 Reacher books, and each one equals one TV season, which could keep an actor working for quite a while. The role is iconic and based on the books by Lee Child. Ritchson says when he won the role, he was nervous about trying to fill the shoes of Tom Cruise, who played the character in the movies. Ritchson says he was really thrilled when he got the part, but recently said that he was even more excited when he realized the character Reacher in the book eventually has thinning hair. Richson says he erupted in cheers when he read that because there is no pressure now to not go bald, which for a guy can be a challenge over the course of 29 TV seasons. Great show. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
More clouds than sunshine today. Warm and muggy, with highs reaching the low 80s. Got chances for scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, and then a line rolls through late tonight. Some of those could be strong to severe, bringing heavy rain, hail, and high winds. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin,
chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome nutritionist and dietitian from Wayless MD, Sherry Stoka. Then Phil Krause, owner of the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll wrap up the show around 10:51-ish. With This Shouldn't Be a Thing, today it is the Catch Me If You Can edition. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Calvin found this one.
He's good at them.
He is good at
them. He is our Tisbat hunter.
He is the Tisbat hunter. You can be as well. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. janesays@civicmedia.us. Use that same address to contact the show. If there's a business that you think would be good for Beyond the Cheese.
Yes, please.
If there is a fundraiser in your community, whether you're in Oshkosh or Hayward or wherever you are around the state, you can always get in touch with the show at janesays@civicmedia.us. It is 10:36. This is the segment that we call Audio Sorbet.
Cleansed already.
Right? It's a cleansing for the ear away from the heavy topics of the news and all of those things that are a little bit exhausting. So we like to take a little break and lighten it up for the last half an hour of the show. This could be a very contentious argument.
Yes. I heard it is.
People have strong feelings about this. So here we go. Bagels, toasted or no? 855-752-4842. Bagels, toasted or no? 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel.
Okay.
I'm just saying what I've read.
Why? Okay. Then I respond with this question.
Okay.
Why would a purist say that?
I think because I always imagine like the creation of the bagel out east as a New York City creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have read that New Yorkers.
Many people are saying.
Do not toast their bagels. Do not toast bagels. And I am not a bagel purist. I love toasted bagels.
I would honestly, like, I feel like the purist line, like, why? I can understand.
So, I don't know if it's the texture.
It's freshness.
It's the freshness and the texture is unadulterated, non-toasted.
The flavor is untouched by the heat of the toaster oven.
There's something going on, but I guess toasting changes the bagel. In a way, that is a crime.
The toaster oven changes the molecular structure of the goodness that is America, the bagel.
See, I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear. That's what it's called. It's called a schmear.
I know, but the way you said it, I wish there was like, you know, inspirational music behind it. There's nothing better. I'm just going to do a lot of voices during this segment because that's what I want to do because this is fun. But I don't know. I guess I go. I guess maybe call me a super progressive. I go both ways.
Oh,
because
you're a bagel swing.
Calvin, don't look at the camera like that. I see your face. Your face can't hide your disdain of what I just said. He's a bagel purist. It's like he eats them raw. They don't even bake them.
They don't even have to.
He's
cook
just like
them.
He's just like.
Just give me the dough.
Give me the dough. Throw the dough at my face and some cream cheese.
Audio survey today: bagel toasted or no? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
Luann, is it Wonderos?
Wonderos.
Wonderos, okay.
Correct us if we're wrong, Luann.
Because I think of Underoos.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So Wonderos.
Listening on WALAK in English.
She says, and this I feel like it's very, very stern.
Specific.
Sliced. Buttered and grilled, or not at all.
There you go.
I kind of enjoy that sort of Like she gets
the vehemence.
If she goes to a restaurant and they hand her a bagel and it's not buttered and or not grilled, it's like, excuse me, garçon.
Hello.
Do you not know the ways of the bagel? I order them sliced, battered, and grilled, or not at all.
Or not at all.
Not at all.
855-752-4842. Audio survey today. Bagels, toasted, or no? 855-75-CIVIC. I prefer a toasted bagel. I like a nice Asiago with a sour up with a cream cheese and chive cream cheese, onion and chive.
I personally, okay, so this is why I could go both ways. If I'm buying store-bought in a bag and they're in my fridge, or not my fridge, don't come at me for how I store my bagels. It's my life. I'm probably going to toast it. I want that buttery, melty, or if it's a plain, I will endeavor into peanut butter and or jelly. If it's a savory, if you try to give me a sweet schmear, I will scream in your face and run away.
Yeah, that shouldn't be.
But
a thing.
If I'm going to a deli, if I'm in New York, but in Rome, I'll go fresh, untoasted.
Untoasted.
I think that's the thing is, if I'm going to a restaurant that's making them fresh in house, I don't think I'm going to get it toasted because I think it's going to be
an
soft
and affront to the baker.
Less so than just I feel like it's going to be fresh. I don't feel like what I'm getting in the store is super fresh, so just toast it and get it nice and warm and get that. Because, I mean, let's face it. Come on, Jane. Let's just be honest here. Can we have a moment? Folks, can we have a moment of honesty?
Brutal honesty.
I want a moment. Calvin, can you just play the harp music for me really quick? Just really quick. A moment of honesty with Greg.
Okay.
Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them?
It's a cream cheese delivery system.
It's a conduit for the schmear or the jelly or whatever you put
it. Is.
So does it really matter?
It does matter.
Does it matter?
Delivery matters. Yes. Bagels, toasted or no, 855-752-4842. Judy from East Troy, fresh made, no toast.
There you go.
All right.
Steve from Milwaukee sent a couple here. Toasted makes it less dry and easier to chew, which I understand. And that's my point with the whole, are you buying it from the store or getting it from the restaurant? I understand that. And then Steve also goes on to say, I agree with Greg. If it's at a deli, it's different. It's just a different experience.
Well, and it's going to be fresher, right? Tom from Wausau listening on WXCO. If it is a fresh bagel, don't toast ever.
Love this.
If it's not fresh or from the fridge or the freezer, toast as a sandwich, no toast. So Tom has some pretty specific bagel rules, which I appreciate.
I will not lie. Jane and I, before the show went on today, we were a little nervous talking about this topic just because it's very specific.
It is.
But I am so happy to see so many people with not just opinions, but specific opinions on this.
We got rules.
We got rules, and we also have people who know what they want and definitely know what they don't want.
Not being wishy-washy about the bagels.
And Steve, as far as blueberry cream cheese, if it's on a plain bagel, I'll try it. If it's on anything else, get out of town.
I'm with you. I don't like the sweet.
I don't like sweet bagels. I don't like sweet bagels, and
don't put chocolate chips in my bagels.
Don't give me a dessert.
855-752-4842. Yes, the issues of the day. Audio sorbet today. Bagels, toasted or no. Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Ron. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, guys. I'm very specific that I need a toasted pumpernickel bagel.
Okay.
Ooh, and it needs to have something on it. I mean, we can. The only time I won't have it, I'm like what somebody said there. Maybe I'm not sure who said it, but if it's going to be like a lunch sandwich, like a deli sandwich on a bagel, well, then I don't need it toasted. I might ask for that, but if there's cheese on it, I might ask. But and I have a friend who just thinks he's been a bagel aficionado for most of his life, and he thinks anything other than a plain white bagel is a blasphemy.
It's crime.
Pumpernickel bagel. Yeah, it's like an affectation. But I think they're healthier, and I think they have a nice taste, and you can put less stuff on them. A smear, usually peanut butter or just butter or cream cheese,
Stay with your convictions, Ron, for one thing.
We all need to stand up for something.
When you talk to your friend, hold your ground for the pumpernickel bagel. I think that's fantastic.
That is also something to be said. It's the notion of, like, if you love bagels so much, why isn't a plain bagel enough? Why does it have to have melted Asiago cheese or an everything? Or
why
this
does it have to have anything?
Why does it have anything in it? Which just brings me back to my point. The bagel is the conduit. No one, like, who's eating a plain bagel with nothing? Toasted or not toasted?
855-752-4842. Nothing on it. No schmear of any kind. There's no one does that.
I just imagine that you're just like, I need carbs right now.
No, I just can't imagine anyone do it. Because you're right. It's a delivery system.
Mm-hmm. Just like
that's like cupcakes.
So can I ask another question?
Sure.
Why is it if I walk into this room right now and I am just eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Why is it so less acceptable than if I'm eating it on a bagel?
That's a really interesting question. Should we just be honest?
Let's just be honest. Just you want to eat salsa? Get rid of the chips. Just spoon it out of the tub and put it in your mouth.
It would make life much more direct.
Yes. And people are like, what are you doing? Exactly what I want.
Could do that, like, because I always say cupcakes are nothing more than a frosting delivery system. So
correct.
We could just walk around with a can of frosting, I guess, and get rid of the cake.
Let's get rid of the stigma and get to what we want, which is toppings and cream cheeses.
And butter.
And butter.
Calvin, you want to weigh in on the big topic of the day, bagels toasted or no?
Well, I just more wanted to weigh in on the argument that it's only a vehicle for toppings or smear. I think that's a fair point, but then I think that also applies to all bread. I would look at someone just as sideways if they were eating Wonder Bread plain as if they were eating a bagel plain.
In most instances, I would agree with you, but there are some restaurants that have bread that is so, like, the bread basket is so good.
But that brings up another question then. It's about standards and societal
norms.
Now
we're veering.
You're right.
Now we're veering.
You're right. I'm sorry. We'll go back to bagels. Because I have a lot of thoughts on this. Why is it okay to eat plain bread before dinner, but I just can't have a piece of bread?
Leading to some whole new audio surveys here.
I agree.
855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. We're talking bagels this morning, toasted or no?
If I'm buttering it, toast. If I'm not buttering it, if I'm smearing it, then plain, not toasted.
You toast only with butter?
Yes, to melt the butter, because that's better.
Okay.
That makes total sense to me. And someone brought up before, breakfast sandwiches. I feel like if you're going to put a breakfast sandwich, especially egg and cheese on there, I think some toasting or warming needs to happen to get it all melty and good. Or that cold versus hot is a weird dichotomy. But Troy, that makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. Especially you want to put the butter. No one wants to look at unmelted butter on a bagel.
Just a big pat of butter sitting there.
Exactly. Wonderful. This doesn't just feel like an airing of your opinions, but also tips.
Life tips. That's what this segment is for.
Exactly.
Yes, life tips. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Catch Me If You Can edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end and its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the Big Brutal Bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we went to the break, we were doing audio sorbet. Big question of the day, bagels, toasted or no? And I just wanted to share Carmela from Milwaukee texting in, I'm a toasted bagel person, but I eat cream cheese and ricotta right out of the tub. See, Carmela, you're doing what you want. You're skipping the middle bread. Right? You're skipping the middle, man.
Where's my family out there who drinks pancake syrup right out of the bottle?
What?
No? Oh, just me. Oh,
I think it's just you.
Whatever.
Thank you, everyone, for taking part in that. That was a lot of fun. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Canada's own Pat Kreitlow will be joining us. Hopefully, he will be back from over the border. He had some plane problems and got diverted. So, yeah, he was stuck in Canada doing the show this morning. He will be joining us tomorrow morning after 9:30. And then Randy Banner, retired Major General Randy Banner, who spent more than 30 years in the U.S. military, will be joining us to talk specifically about Donald Trump sending in troops into California, even though the governor, the attorney general, the mayor, and the chief of police never asked for them. Mm-hmm. And also, Donald Trump gave a speech at Fort Bragg last week in which he encouraged the troops to boo Democrats.
Yep. That's where we're at now.
So that is all coming up tomorrow. Randy Banner will be here in hour number two. I hope you can join us. Right now, though, it is 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And as always, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from AJ Dellinger with the byline from gizmodo.com. Headline reads, guy scores 120 free flights by posing as flight attendant before getting busted. Yeah.
We don't talk about heroes enough on this show.
35-year-old Tyron Alexander posed as a flight attendant and racked up more than 100 free flights over 6 years. He's now been convicted of wire fraud and entering into a secure area of an airport under false pretenses. Tyron Alexander managed to secure flights that were supposed to be only available to pilots and flight attendants. The Department of Justice says he was able to book these flights by falsifying employment information and giving out badge numbers that allowed him to bypass security. His primary victim was a single airline. He allegedly booked 34 different flights using fake ID numbers and stuff like that. He submitted documentation that he worked for 7 different airlines.
Yeah.
And provided more than 30 different badge numbers over the course of years. He was also able to duplicate the process that let him fly for free as a faux employee across 3 more airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So it started off with just one, and it's like, well, this is going good. I may as well spread this out.
I mean, there's a reason why we picked Catch Me If You Can edition, because exactly. It sounds like that kid from the movie. And look, I do not endorse wire fraud. I do not endorse
fraud.
I do not endorse fraud at all. I really just wanted it to be like he showed up in a uniform, and they were like, yeah, sure, he's a substitute, or he's a new hire, or something
right,
like that. Right. And I'm like, man, if you can get a free flight in this world, go for it. But now you're like, oh, there's wire fraud. Okay, yeah.
And he probably, you know, he might have ended up taking someone's spot on a flight. We don't know. NBC News reported that Alexander did at one time work for an airline headquartered in Dallas. That includes Southwest and American and Ameristar Jet Charter and Flexjet on the charter side. He started working there in 2015. At no point was he ever a flight attendant or a pilot or any of those things. While he has been convicted, Mr. Alexander is still waiting to see what his penalty will be. He will be sentenced on August 25th. Nothing in here explains how he got busted. Although this does not exactly speak highly of security protocols.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And now in my head, because I've watched a lot of movies, I just want to imagine there's one lone agent and one lone agency who's like, we got to get this guy, and it becomes this whole thing. And then, you know what I mean? Like, Catch Me If You Can, too.
But he did this over almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you would think at some point, this never blipped on anybody's radar.
That's what leads me to go, like, is it like something so heinous? It's not. It really isn't. And that's why I hope, like,
in the grand scheme of a criminal behavior, okay,
people are getting away with a lot worse.
Well, that's very
true. Or being
pardoned
for a lot worse. But that's for another day. I'm going to be very interested to see what the sentencing is. Will it just be some community service? Will it be
a slap on the wrist?
Or a judge in some state going, I'm throwing the book at him.
He has to work as a ground crew with no earphones.
Yes, he has to be flight attendant as a volunteer. More peanuts.
You're the cart guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the cart guy. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we mentioned, Pat Kreitlow will be here tomorrow. Also, retired Major General Randy Manner will be joining us after 10 o'clock. I hope you can join us for that. We have news coming up next, and then Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Our friend Todd Alba, 2 to 4. The fabulous Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. And Pete Schwab and Nightlight, 6 to 8 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you tomorrow.
are listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. A court appearance later today in Minnesota will happen hours after authorities caught the man suspected of shooting two Democratic state lawmakers and their spouses, ending a nearly two-day manhunt. 57-year-old Vance Belter faces a string of charges.
Mr. Belter was taken into state custody, and our office intends to pursue first-degree murder charges against Mr. Belter.
County Attorney Mary Moriarty says he'll also face two counts of attempted murder.
It is a frightening time we are living in. Political violence is prevalent, and the way we talk to and about each other has raised the temperature to unfathomable levels. We cannot continue on this way.
State Public Safety Commissioner Bob Jacobson.
To arrest him without any use of force, no police officers were injured. I couldn't ask for a better ending to a really difficult, traumatic incident.
The governor, Tim Walz, says one man's unthinkable actions have altered the state. CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve.